Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of their cowboy guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D, holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, May 22nd, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. As always, I got some stuff to talk about tonight. I'm also going to be having on the show the best photographer on all of the United States indie scene, Lyle Williams. He's a great guy, and I'm sure he's got a lot to talk about, you know, wrestling-wise. Got a bunch of questions for him and everything. Just as last Wednesday, it seems like this is the continuing theme where my Miami Heat are on the TV. I guess come playoff times, it comes with the territory, but it seems to fall on every Wednesday. So I'm actually half watching that in my room, which is really fucking hot right now because it's like 80 degrees out still, or whatever it is outside, but in my room it's a minimal of 80, and then I'm popping in and out from here to the backyard where I got the fire going, and it's actually a million times cooler in the backyard with the fire going than it is inside watching the Heat game, so go figure. But this is going to be a crazy series. The Pacers are a great team. They put down the Knicks just like I said they would, and it's going to be a great series, but all you LeBron haters are just going to have to deal with the same thing that you already know what's going to happen. So, but it should be a very entertaining series to watch, nonetheless. So, like I said, I'll be back and forth between this and that. But, I definitely got a few other things to go over. Oh, and as far as next week's show, I will not be watching a Heat game / I'm not other that we play next Wednesday, but / doing the show, because next Wednesday night I will actually be going to see Bill Burr at the Count Basie Theater in I think Red Bank. And really, really excited about that. So now I'm toying with different ideas as far as next week's show. I'm definitely doing next week's show, but it won't be on Wednesday. So we're talking either Thursday or Friday. I'm actually starting to think, the more I'm thinking, leaning towards Friday night. And, you know, definitely going to have another guest on. I got a couple ideas, couple, you know, things in mind. So just stay tuned for, we're going to see what goes on. But, yeah, I, like I said, I definitely will be doing a show next week. It just will be later in the week due to you know, me going to see Bill Burr. Monday is Memorial Day, and, we, you know, we do a barbecue thing here. So it's going to be some banging-ass food, you know, some grilled chicken, some Mott burgers. It's going to be crazy. You know, a lot of drinking, of course. That's what goes down with that. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I got the next day off to recover from that. I got, then I got Bill Burr on Wednesday and then the day off after that, just because, you know, I take a day off here and there, you know, normally work 6 days a week. It's nice to have a few off here and there. So why not? So, yeah, that's that. I watched a little bit of WWE this week. I'll get into that a little bit later as well. I also watched the Brian Kendrick's King of Flight tournament. I'm going to talk about that later on, too. What else do I got? It's a time waster, I should say. Let me see. But, yeah, as far as the Knicks, I had said it last week, and it was really, you know, being a Miami Heat fan, of course, I hate the Knicks. And I'm not big on any local teams around here at all. I'm quite the contrary to a lot of people's beliefs on how you should follow sports. People think that if you live close to the stadium, you should just be married to that team. And I've always been dead set against that. I find local fans highly irritating. And I feel the freedom to like whatever I want to like. So, you know, like I said, just because you live in Jersey doesn't mean you need to like only, you know, New Jersey actors or New Jersey music artists or groups or any of that. So what makes it any different for a sports team, you know? So that's just my opinion. Speaking of sports teams, too. Everybody who knows me knows I'm a diehard 49er fan. Last Friday, I finally got my Niner tattoo. So on my right arm, I got a big Niner symbol. So that's cool. I'm still healing up. You know, it takes a little time. So yeah, it's looking great, though. Very, very happy with it. I do believe I have on my guest at this time, Lyle Williams.
That would be me.
Awesome. So how you doing tonight?
A little pain always, but that's what happens when you get old, of course.
Cool.
After killing time, so I figured I better call in.
yeah, it's usually how I start the show. but yeah, for those who don't know, Lyle's a photographer on the Indies, CZW, Chikara, everywhere else. You know, so I figure, you know, we have you on, get to know you a little bit more, you know, get your name out there for people who haven't heard of you before, because you take great pictures and pretty much see you everywhere, you know, you go on the Indies. So when did you get into wrestling?
Good question. I really, you know how people always say I watched it with my dad, friends and stuff like that. I honestly don't remember. I just remember watching it when I was about 10 years old, just turning it on every Saturday. My favorite wrestler for some reason was Chief J. Strongbow. For people out there, we're talking like the early 70s, like around 71, 72. And that's how I got into it. I just remember watching it. I really don't remember how I started, though.
Okay. So, Chief J. Strongbow was pretty much your favorite back then. You know, what other things were interesting to you at the time?
Wrestling-wise?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I really don't remember it too much because I did stop watching it after a couple years, as I did with most sports. But a couple years later, when I was in high school, I caught on to the Valiant Brothers.
Okay.
And that's when I really became a big wrestling fan. This is like around 1978. Yeah, we're talking Bob Backlund. Yeah, we're talking Bob Backlund was the champ. People probably don't remember him except from the Hall of Fame. That's when I first started going to my first live matches, and we're talking no music back then. Guys just walked out. No managers ever showed up at the thing except for Arnold Skolin. I mean, it was a fun time, but like I said, nothing like it is today, obviously.
Right. Did you attend a lot of shows back then?
I went to every show for 2 years until I joined the Army.
Oh, wow. Back then, I mean, much different, and, you know, as a spectator, it's obviously a little harder, but were you always, like, big on taking pictures at the show and stuff like that?
I actually took pictures at every show from, like, the second and third row. Of course, they're pretty bad looking. I thought they were great back then, but when you look at them now, it's a whole different story. But, you know, I got pictures of Hulk Hogan's first appearance at the Spectrum, Ted DiBiase's. It was a pretty good time. Kurt Hennig when he was like a toothpick.
Yeah.
Just a real big difference back then. Like I said, no Titantron, no music. The guys just walked out, and that was it.
Wow. So you said, you know, you went into the military at the time. What was your experience like there?
Obviously, wrestling was territorial back then.
Uh-huh.
I went to Georgia, and that's when I started to see the NWA for the first time.
Okay.
And that was a different breed of animal altogether. That was the first time I heard music at a show.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Hayes came out to I Love Rock and Roll with Bad Leroy Brown. Piper was there. Kevin Sullivan, when he looked like a bodybuilder. Piper was doing the Piper was like the first guy, the first wrestler to do the color commentary at the time. An active wrestler that was on TV back then. It was a different experience. It was really... I still like the WWF, but believe me, this was an exciting night. I just went one time, though, while I was in Georgia. Then when I went to Germany, I didn't see wrestling for 2 years.
They didn't have anything going on over there?
Nothing on TV. Of course, the WWE wasn't a global market at that time, and so it was not on the AFN network, which is the American network. I didn't see it for 2 years. All I saw was Hulk Hogan host Saturday Night Live. That was it.
Wow.
And believe it or not, you actually kind of, there's so much to do over there, I really didn't miss it.
Wow. That's cool. So, you know, when did you get back over here and, you know, what was going on the wrestling scene when you did get back into it?
Okay, now it gets fun. Obviously, when I got back, that's when Vince McMahon Jr. owned the company. Now, he used to be the announcer back in the days I watched when I was a kid. I come back from the Army, and I'm trying to figure out, why is he screaming all the time? I mean, it's like, you know, I'm like, really? You know, it's just, I didn't understand what the hell was going on. And, of course, also when I came back, that's when you also had other federations in the area. So I got to see the UWF. I think I saw some Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, WCW in Georgia. It was just a whole different thing. And that's when I basically stopped being a WWE fan because... it just was not what I remembered it being.
Yeah. Now, it seems, too, like, you know, I know you're a big fan of the indies and all that, more so than the TV product, right?
Yes.
So was it the athleticism from the start that really, you know, turned you on to the wrestling rather than the actual show or the production?
I guess back in those days when I was a kid, it had to be the athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't have any shows. You didn't have marriages. You didn't have backstage storylines and stuff like that. And like I said, I was about 10 years old when I first got into it. And when I got back into it in high school, it was basically the same thing. It didn't change that much. Like I said, the change came when I came back from Germany.
Yeah.
Then it was a whole different story.
Yeah. You know, when you got out of the military and everything like that... I'd imagine you attended a lot more shows and you know, got more into the different.
No, didn't attend any shows hardly. You're right. Sorry, I apologize. You're right. The NWA was at the Civic Center at the time.
Okay.
So I started going to the Civic Center a lot. Of course, with Magnum and Nikita, Flair, Wyndham. Those shows were a lot of fun.
So then after that, you know, did you just try to keep up with different TV products or?
What do we have on then? We had, of course, like I said, WCW was more global at the time. The UWF, of course, was on at the time, and that was, I don't know if you've seen any of that stuff. I'm sure you have. But
yeah,
with
Oh,
that was some great stuff on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the twist they did, you didn't see it coming. It was just a whole different thing. That was another problem with the WWF, is just every time there's a plot twist, you saw it coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
You always knew when somebody was going to turn bad. You knew this, you knew that. You knew Hogan was never going to lose. There was just no fun. That's a whole different thing with Bob Backlund. When you went to the matches that I went to, you always felt that Backlund had a chance of losing because he didn't look like a big guy or anything, though he was strong as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a whole different animal at that time.
Yeah. When was it that, you know, you first saw the, I don't know, I guess I'd say the start of the more local shows and stuff like that you were able to get a little more into.
I hadn't even known anything about those shows, to tell you the truth. That was the funny thing about it. Joel Goodhart used to have the Squared Circle Fan Club, and I think he ran a couple local shows before he started TWA, and I went to a couple of those. They're good, you know. You're expecting something else, but for what they were, because you didn't have the big stars and everything, they were pretty good shows. Then, of course, TWA started and so on and so forth, and things got a lot better.
Hmm. Yeah. About what year was it when you actually started, decided to, you know, take, you know, pictures professionally?
Probably with CZW.
When did you actually start?
I think I did one Joel's, the third show. It was still the fan. But, you know, it was at that little warehouse where you used to have the great breakable walls and everything. So you could basically get some good shots. Yeah. For the people that missed that place, they would put up these yellow walls, and somebody would always go through them. A lot of fun.
Yeah, I came in after that. I started going in the February 2001 in Sewell. So I definitely missed the Mantua. Yep.
Yeah, Champs is okay for what it was. Well, yeah, I just took some pictures, and they had a barbecue one day for a person that died, a guy named Mike Goad, if I remember his name. And I saw Zandig pull up. I had a photo album of pictures I'd taken of the first couple shows, showed it to him, he liked them. And nothing really came of it until they did the first Pain in the Rain, which was a pretty bad show, but that was the first time he actually asked me to shoot something.
Yeah.
And basically from that point on, like I said, it was a bad show, but in the other way, you know, it's still one of my favorite shows just because that's basically where I got started. And since then, I was always taking pictures still as a fan, but they started using my stuff around then.
CZW, how did you initially get into that? Because clearly, you know, they've always had a whole lot more of a rough edge than your normal indie thing, and
what was that guy's name? Do you remember the guy that beat Shinya Hashimoto? I mean, beat the crap out of him in Japan. I think it was Ogawa.
No,
he did a tour of the U.S. He was the NWA champ. They had a big fight over there where people thought they were really trying to kill each other. Well, he did a tour of the U.S. He did like three shows. One was in New Jersey and in Pine Hill at a high school. So I go to that show. The first guy I saw was a guy named Trent Ashton, because they got his name wrong. It was Trent Acid. And there was this big guy just going, CZW, like a couple times. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? I have no idea. And then another guy just came over to me, sat down next to me, and asked me if I had ever heard of CZW. And I'm just listening to him. I don't really care. You know, everybody's going to promote their shows. I'm just saying, I'll listen to him. No big deal. He'll leave.
Right.
And that was, what was his name? El Sixtito, who used to team with Lord Everett DeVore. And I said, what the hell, I'll give it a shot. I'll go the next week. But, of course, I had seen on that show, especially decided to go after the main event ended up being Nick Gage, Lobo, and Justice Payne. After I saw that, I said, I'm going next week. And the funny thing is, like I said, if you knew where this warehouse was, it's in the woods, and I couldn't find the building. I'm driving up and back this street. Finally, I said, listen, just let me just take this road here, because they forgot to put the sign out. And what was so funny, I pull into the woods, and I see a truck full of white guys with bald heads. And I'm thinking to myself, I just accidentally pulled into a skinhead rally. And how would they get the hell out of there? And then I finally seen somebody had a CZW shirt. It was all their security guys.
Uh-huh.
And that's basically how I discovered it. And I went to the first show. It was crazy. Can't even describe it. I think it was in March. Let's see. May, June. Probably March of 99, something like that. But that might have been one of the first show. April, May, something like that. And like I said, after the first show, you just got hooked.
CZW definitely ran in buildings that weren't easy to find. Even Champs, the first time we went, we got lost. I don't know how long. We were driving around Sewell for, I never heard of Sewell. And we drove around there. We passed Gurk's Deli like four times. And we're like, oh, Gurk's Deli again. Here we go. I mean, it was like the only thing we could find. We found several people in town. We'd ask Champs Arena. They're like, Champs in the mall? I'm like, no, you're Champs Soccer Arena. We ended up by some roller rink somewhere. We toured the whole town of Sewell. Not that it's a giant town, but I mean, we hit every single point of Sewell before we actually got to the place. And they definitely knew how to hide the building.
hey, don't feel bad. If I remember correctly, I think I drove by it twice because it was off the road and there was no sign, if I remember correctly.
Yep. Yep.
So I actually just drove past it like two or three times before I finally realized, oh, I seen a bunch of people outside. I finally realized that was the building.
Yeah, pretty unmarked, big white building. You really didn't have a lot to pull it out of, so, yeah.
It was a good place. It was a good place for wrestling. Not too bad.
Yeah. You know, when you got into CZW and stuff like that at the time, were you big into the ECW stuff? Or?
Yeah. Very much so. In fact, I did go to ECW a lot back then, too, which was a pain in the butt because they always used to oversell the building, and you always had to wait like 3 hours outside to get in. And then you still couldn't get a seat half the time on the inside. But, yeah, I was a big fan of the real ECW.
Right. Yeah, before the all.
I'm sure you know what I mean.
Yeah. you know, what was some of, you know, attending ECW and, you know, the different stuff that you saw there live, what was some of the, you know, your favorite moments there?
Oh, man. Well, the first show I went to was one where Sabu broke his neck against Benoit.
Oh, wow.
And I think that was also the show where Tommy Dreamer blinded Sandman. I'm pretty sure that was the same exact show.
Okay.
Now, unlike CZW, I had never seen CZW before when I went to that first show. But, of course, ECW I did watch on TV a little bit, so I knew a little bit about it. Plus, I knew all the wrestlers and everything because some were in WCW before and all that. But that was probably the most memorable. And I'm on TV on that show, too. Everybody used to go for the camera side. I didn't even know about the camera side, but if you watch that show, you see me wearing a Deion Sanders jersey in the top row the entire night.
Oh, wow.
But that was basically probably the most memorable night there, the first one I went to.
Yeah. Now, when you started going to CZW and you see, you know, they always wanted to push the limits. They were always doing things above and beyond. I mean, even, you know, as you started going before me and, you know, 99 and 2000 and all that, you saw the pyramid of hell.
That's what I was going to interrupt you and bring that up. That was my third show. It was on my birthday. My third show, and that was also the first appearance of Wifebeater in CZW that night. Main event, they're doing all the crazy stuff. They're building these tables. Lobo's on top of the tables. Nick Gage lights the tables on fire. I'm standing three feet away from these tables. I'm waiting for Gage to jump on top of them. I'm like, what are you waiting for? All of a sudden, thumbtacks drop from the ceiling, and then you see a pair of legs in the darkness. And when Payne came through the top of the building and crushed Lobo, and Lobo really did get hurt, by the way, during that's the point I said, I'm stuck. This is too crazy to give up. Oh, my God. I was like, this at 5 feet. I was like 5 feet away from him with my two cameras that I used to carry at that time. And all I got was a shot of Gage waiting for him to do something. And here it is, his brother comes through the ceiling instead. And believe me, that was, I mean, I actually remember talking to Justice Payne one day, and he said flat out, it's going to get to the point where we can't top ourselves.
Yeah.
You're doing so much crazy stuff, you're not going to be able to top it one day. And believe me, I thought they couldn't top that, but of course they've done so many crazy things since then, so.
Sure. Now, you used to carry two cameras back then. At the time, what were you using camera-wise?
Probably a Nikon, old film style. And I carried a regular old Instamatic for close-ups because I only had the one lens. So I was actually standing there with two cameras, like using the one for the faraway stuff. And when they got up close, I just pull out the little Instamatic and just take some quick shots.
Wow. Now, obviously, you know, with the digital stuff and all that, it, you know, changed everything where pretty much anyone could be a photographer at this point, including myself.
We've talked.
Of course. Yeah, you know, you could just keep deleting them until one of them's good, and eventually you get some good shots. But back then, it must have been kind of costly. You either probably had to get pretty good at it, or it was going to be costly.
Well, let's see. I went to every show with like 7 rolls of film. Obviously, you didn't know if the pictures were any good because you had, you know, you couldn't see it through a little screen or nothing like that after you took it. So you always had to wait the next day to find out if you got anything. Of course, you had to change film during a match sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking maybe, what, 170 shots altogether with 6 or 7 rolls of film, something like that. And actually, you said you couldn't delete anything. And then you'd have to wait till the next day to go to the mall, put it in, wait to come out, and then you finally saw them. I usually did a pretty good job back then.
Yeah.
But
how much
did I went digital,
7 rolls, what did you end up with that was actually usable usually?
Wow. Actually, I'd say a good 80 to 90%. Now, did I use all of it? No, because there were some pictures that just looked like the picture before it. But believe it or not, they usually came out pretty good. The way I remember, of course, it was probably only 50% with my bad memory, but I'm pretty sure most of them came out. And I still use basically the same style I use today. I just hold the camera up and shoot away.
Yeah, it's definitely got to be a big difference now. Does that make you more critical towards, you know, what your pictures are going to be like now that you know you can just delete and all that? Or is it just you're so used to it at this point, it'd be the same?
I don't delete anything. You know why? Because I'm always afraid I'm going to delete everything by mistake. I can take like 800 pictures. Even when I come home and I put them on the computer, I put everything on the CD. I don't care if it's good or bad. Just go ahead and keep everything. Here's a quick story. You know Sabine, who collects the tickets?
Yeah.
I shot pictures of her daughter before a show. Took the pictures, blah, blah, blah. We were like an hour changing clothes. I wanted to show somebody my camera that I just bought, the filming thing. So I filmed something, and then right after I filmed it, I erased everything. And I panicked. I totally forgot that I had luckily gave the disc to Sabine so she could copy the pictures onto her computer. But at the time when I erased them, I didn't think about that. And I thought I had erased an hour's worth of work. And I'm just thinking I'm going to get killed. But thank God, I did get it transferred before I did that. But stuff like that happens. That's why I never erase anything, because I'm always afraid I'm going to hit delete all by mistake. You can take over 1,000. I did 2 shows in one day recently. I had over almost 2,000 pictures with room to go.
Yeah.
That's the major difference. Like I said, from 170 pictures to 800 a show, you don't have to be selective. You just shoot away. That is a big difference. Big difference.
Yeah, for sure. When did you start going to the Chikara shows and doing pictures there?
The first show I did at the arena.
Okay.
A friend of mine named Zero, he went by Zero, Rich Pritchard, who helped me when I first started my site. He said, "You got to check out Chikara. You got to check out Chikara." I go to their website. I'm looking at a big friggin' eyeball, some guy with a rainbow head. Well, I said, "I don't want to see this crap." And sure enough, when they did their first show in the doubleheader with CZW, I was hooked because they were, you know, the ability was there, obviously. They did crazy stuff. But, you know, they have so many great wrestlers in that company. If you're a wrestling fan, you have to get hooked.
Right.
And the only show I ever missed at the arena with them was when I had my stroke, and that was it.
We'll go back to Chikara, too. But CZW, you even go back. I mean, you said Pain in the Rain. what kind of situation was that to shoot pictures in the rain? And I mean, for anyone who hasn't seen, no,
it wasn't that bad. It was bad for the wrestlers because they were slipping all over the place, slipping on the ropes.
Yeah.
That's why the show was so bad.
It was horrendous.
You know, I mean, it was almost pathetic.
Yeah.
You had Corky and his mother there. You know, people probably don't remember Corky, but that was funny. But
mm-hmm.
you just had people slide, trying to get up on the ropes and falling down. I think even Zandig fell down one time. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, it was a very slippery, sloppy show. It was,
funny. You got to see that one?
Well, yeah. At the time when I got into CZW, I got so hooked in 2001, I just started buying every single thing that they had. So there was a point I just had everything. So,
man.
If I didn't see it live, I definitely had it on tape, and I watched that one, and I'm like, what even happened here? This is a...
Yeah, you could have skipped that one. Like I said, the only reason I love it, because that was the one where I was the first time I was ever asked to do something. So I got the good memory from it, but, oh, that was a bad show.
Yeah. But no problems with the cameras or anything with the rain?
I don't remember it being a problem. The only time I can remember, there was a match, the main event, where it was supposed to be Mondo versus Gage. And I guess I can say this. They were actually talking about bringing a lawnmower into the ring during that match. And I remember it started raining hard then. I don't know what they were going to do. I just remember I heard some talk about it. Obviously, the rain messed that up. But no, I don't think I really had a problem with the rain, thank God.
Oh, that's good. Over time, I mean, they just continue to get, more and more ultra-violent. It went down, the path of doing actually Tournament of Death. Now that, brought it to an outside perspective. And, did that change a lot? Because a lot of the different stuff was inside.
Out in the sun, the pictures are so much better.
Yeah.
Obviously because you have the sunlight, you don't need the flash. If it's if there's no trees in the way or nothing, with shadows and all like that. I used to get some great pictures when they first started going to Delaware. The only problem with going to DJ's place is they do it where the trees are. So you're in the shadow, so you kind of have to use a flash. But I really got some great shots back then. And you could do the multiple shots, too, because you didn't have to worry about the flash recharging. You could just put on multiple shots and get them jumping through the air. Those were fun shows, yeah.
A lot of people may not realize, but, you get your front row, you end up with the glass on your lap and, all these, shrapnel and stuff like that. You got the referees running around with goggles and everything.
Yeah.
And you're right there in between the action, and before you even hit the front row, it's going through you.
Yeah.
What was it like when – what was even your first experience where you maybe came to that realization or –
I don't think it was a Tournament of Death, but it was a Delaware show.
Okay.
I remember, I think it was the first time I had ever seen Necro Butcher. I can't remember what show it was. It probably had that big, giant black guy and everything. It was in the back of that bar or that building or whatever, where Mondo and Zandig went off the roof.
Like Extreme 8 or something?
It might have been that, something like that. And there was like a tag team match going on. And, of course, I'm watching one thing. And then when I turned back to the ring is when they swung a light tube. And, of course, I just closed my eyes just in time before I got, the glass in my eyes. At that point, I realized I got to start wearing glasses. Second point, it might have been Tournament of Death. Same building. They had the one light shining on the ring you couldn't see on the other side. I leaned down into a barbed wire bed without seeing it. That's when I realized I better start wearing knee pads. Obviously, I wear them for a different reason now because my knees are so shot. But it's nothing. Like I said, you could not see the board leaning against me. I bent right into that damn thing. Luckily, I caught myself. But, you've got that initial reaction like, oh, God, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure you want to get to the story about me bleeding to death, right?
yeah, sure.
Okay, because that's what the main thing is. I stand behind the glass all the time. It's a breakaway glass. It stings like hell, but it doesn't really hurt. So Gage, Zandig, we'll do the first one first. Gage throws Zandig through. Glass breaks. I barely feel it. I go to look to see if I got the picture. Next thing I know, I got blood in my eye. Here's the thoughts going through my head. Oh, wow, I'm bleeding. This is going to be cool. I have blood. Oh, damn. I'm on blood thinners. I better get to the back. It was like a little pinky cut, but it was coming out of my head bad. I thought it was like a big cut across my forehead. But it was just a little pinky cut, so I go in the back. I'm back out there before the match even ends. No big deal. Last year, different story. Masada versus Scott Summers. Once again, I'm behind the glass. I think Summers went through. I got hit. It felt like I got hit with a bag of rocks on my head. Like somebody took a bag and just grazed the top of my head, but it hurt like hell. Still no big deal. I go to look. Our boy Paul, my cousin Daryl goes, "Lyle, you okay?" I said, "No big deal." And you know Paul, right?
Right, of course.
Paul also says, all of a sudden says to me, "Lyle, I don't think you're okay." And I just felt the blood just pouring down my forehead. I got cut like about five spots on the top of my head and one on my chin. I missed the rest of that match. I think I got even a couple stitches for that one. Still fun, but like I said, when you have blood thinners, you can't do that stuff.
Right, for sure.
And so that's why I had to go in the back, and I missed the rest of that match, but finished the rest of the show. In all honesty, that was the first time I ever really got scared, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Which you really shouldn't be when you're doing this stuff. But that did bother me a little bit.
Now, you know, with the stuff like that, the action coming at you, you know, I mean, the glass as well. But, you know, is that harder to keep focus and stuff like that?
No.
You know.
Nope.
No?
Not at all. Not at all. I got the glasses on. I don't expect I'll wear a hat at this year's tournament of death, believe me. And like I said, you kind of like it. That was the first time it actually hurt. I've been behind glass many a times and got showered with that stuff. No big deal. That one time, it felt like a couple big pieces just grazed the top of my head. And like that's the only time that's ever happened. But no, it doesn't. I'm more afraid of getting in the wrestler's way. Like when Devin flew on top of me that time, something like that. Which is, of course, another funny story. But it's not that scary. It's not that scary, believe it or not. I did say I got a little worried after that one, but I'll probably be right back there behind it again this year.
Yeah, well, you know, they have that happen many times you see in the NBA games or, you know, LeBron James will land on a cameraman or, you know, in the NFL, a guy gets run over on the sideline. You obviously caught Devin Moore. You know, what was that like?
Okay, that's a good one. Best of the best. I got it on my Facebook page. It's funny as hell. I was in the corner like I always am, trying to keep out of people's way. Devin climbs to the top. I decide I want to get a shot of him jumping, so I moved to the wrong spot, somewhere I should have moved. For the people who watch TNA, there's Zima Ion. He pushes Devin off. I am watching Devin in slow motion come towards me. He even goes, "Lyle!" He lands on top of me. I don't feel a thing. I scraped up my wrist. That was it. I don't feel a thing because he caught most of it. He got hurt, unfortunately. I apologized to him like five times that night. But what happened was I broke my flash. I was going to stay down. Like, you know, he killed me. I wasn't going to move. But unfortunately, I saw my flash was broken, and I totally forgot he had just landed on me. And I got up and walked out, went to the back. I was like pissed off. I'm like, "Damn, it broke my damn flash. You're an idiot, Lyle." I get back there. John Zandig comes down. Grabs me and goes, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, no problem. You know, what's the big deal?" When I saw the video the next month, it looks like he kills me. It looks like my head hits the guardrail. It looks like he nails it. I'm telling people, other than my wrist getting scratched up, I barely felt the thing. And like I said, I apologize to him because I know he got a little hurt protecting me.
Right.
And you don't know how many people actually asked me if that was set up or not. No, it was not set up. I would not try to do something like that because I know I would mess it up.
Right.
But yeah, that's one of my highlights of my life.
Was that the only time you actually, you know, came in contact with a wrestler that way?
Claudio nailed me one time. He hit me right in the chest on purpose. He went out of the ring. It was funny. It was a Shikara show. He got thrown out of the ring, and I'm right next to him. All of a sudden, you know how big Claudio. He nails me, hits me in the chest with his forearm. And after he does it, guy flies over the top of the ring, on top of him. Mm-hmm. He was getting me out of the way, but I didn't see it coming.
Right.
You know, he apologized to me after the show. Unfortunately, they didn't catch it on camera or nothing like that, because we both talked about it the next one. He said, "Nah, it's not on the DVD." I'm like, "Damn it. I actually wanted to see that."
Yeah.
But that's really the only other time.
Oh, that's cool. What is it like
you know, there's so many times where you get the Japanese guys come in and it pretty much ups the amount of photographers about 500%. How much does that change, you know, your experience of then taking pictures from, you know, you and maybe another guy or two to, you know, people surrounding the ring?
Oh, God. I know what you mean, basically, yeah. I mean, when you get the big names in there, I mean, you get Japanese photographers that come in and they'll only take pictures of when the Japanese wrestlers
right.
are in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, actually, I'll give you the one experience, because it's never been that bad. I did one Ring of Honor show, and it just
uh-huh.
had to be with Kensuke Sasaki on there, but it has nothing to do with him. I had my stroke. I got home. As soon as I went online, Chris Hero emailed me and said, "Lyle, have you ever done a Ring of Honor show? I'll set you
mm-hmm.
up so you can get on your resume." Believe it or not, I turned him down. You know, I just
wow.
got out of the hospital. 10 minutes later, I'm like, I just turned down Chris Hero to work a Ring of Honor show. And, of course, I got
right.
right back to him. He hooked me up with it. I got there. I met Gabe. I think Gabe was still in charge then. Don't remember if I met Carrie or not, but I met Gabe. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching photographers walk through the door. There was
right.
eight of us that night. And believe it or not, that was one of the easiest nights I ever worked. We all just took
really?
Two people in the corner, and it was great. I got some great shots that night. It was a great show. It was a Glory by Honor 7, I think it was. So that would be
okay.
the most I ever worked with, and it turned out to be great. Now, other times you can work with one other person, and he could be an idiot. I've been through that.
Right. That was another question I had was, you know, when it is just you and another guy or you and a couple guys, is there any type of competition or is it difficult to work with them? You know, who's going to get the big shot?
Me and Wax did CZW for like 2 years by ourselves before I went solo. And the only
mm-hmm.
competition was who could get his pictures up quicker.
Right.
I loved his work. He said he loved mine. We had a different style. I thought they both worked. And like I said, he basically took the one side of the ring. I took the other. He, at
mm-hmm.
the time, got most of the championship. Like, when the guy won the championship, he would get the pictures in the back, which I took over after he left. But no,
right.
I enjoyed working with Wax. It was great. I think there should be anywhere from 2 to 4 guys at every show. There are people that thought when I was working by myself, that was the way I wanted it. And believe
right.
me, I didn't. I had DJ actually came up to me and said, "Lyle, you mind this for?" I said, "Why are you asking me?"
Right.
I'm not the boss here. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. If you can do it, do it. People actually
right.
were scared. They thought that it was my job and they had to, you know, come through me to get it for some reason.
Right.
And no, that just made it easier for me. More people, hey, great. Just follow the rules. Keep your ass down. Don't block the fans' view and don't get in the way of the cameraman. Especially don't
right.
get in the way of Mike Pankos, as I found out. But no, I had no problem with that.
Yeah, a couple guys have, you know, some problems with that. Definitely, you've always been really, really good with keeping out of the fans' ways. Because, again, you're between the front row and the actual action. So,
right.
you know, you buy a front row ticket, one thing can get in your way, and that would be a camera guy. So, yeah.
I told you
when
I used to go to the Spectrum, I was in the second row all the time. So I know what that was like. Not with the photographers, but with the video guy. But unfortunately,
right.
you can't blame the video guys because it's a little different. But that's one
yeah.
of the reasons I shoot the way I do. I get on my knees, I hold the camera up, I put it on wide angle, and I just try to aim as straight as possible. And with autofocus, it helps a lot.
Yeah. So then, you know, I guess that over time has done a toll on your knees, you know, from, you know.
No, I've had bad knees since high school. It hasn't helped, but I've had bad knees since high school.
Hmm.
My kneecap
yeah.
popped out during a volleyball match, of all things, one time. It was sitting on the side of my leg. And ever since that happened,
wow.
my knees have been bad. When I've been in better shape, of course, it's been better. But when you let yourself go, it makes it that much worse.
Yeah. How hard is it to actually watch or, you know what's actually going on in the action when you're trying to, you know, catch everything?
That's a good question. No, I need to answer it. You do miss, especially with me, because I can't move as much as I used to, as you brought up. I sometimes do miss stuff on the other side of the ring. That's why I'm also glad there are more photographers. I obviously don't move nearly as well as I used to. But you still, there's so much going on. You can still catch stuff. But you're right, I do miss certain things.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah, because I'm not sure. I know, you know, if I would, you know, watch a show without a camera, I could definitely get a little different perspective on things. But if I'm really trying to get pictures, you're a little closed off to some stuff.
Well, like I said, you're in the front row and you have a seat. So anything that happens on the far side of the ring, you're going to miss. I can at least move around there if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
But, believe me, I take 700 pictures. If I could get everything I wanted to, I would get 1,000 pictures every show.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that happens on the other side. If you've got a tag team match, you decide to follow one part of it, the first, and something crazy could happen over there. Cage of Death, 2 rings. I remember I would run to one ring, and then you hear the people oohing and ahhing that something happened in the other ring. So you run back there, and then something would happen there. You miss a lot during that. But if you take a lot of pictures, people don't notice it.
Yeah. What was some of your favorite moments, you know, photographing for CZW?
Wow. I can definitely say recently we've been getting a lot of stars in that I've wanted to meet, like Spanky and Davey Richards, though I did meet him once before. That's it. See, you got me into another damn question. I call myself preparing for this, and you hit me with all this other stuff. Like I said, of course, the Devin thing was funny. I enjoyed it.
Right.
Nobody really got hurt. Most of the things you think of are pretty bad, but I'm a professional wrestling fan just to begin with, so just going to the shows, you do get a different perspective at ringside than when you sit back and watch it. I think it's more exciting at ringside, but I really can't even answer that. I guess in all honesty, getting my name on the back of the covers of the DVDs is probably the coolest thing.
Right. Now, getting the art on the boxes and the stuff like that, I mean, that's always really great. I'd imagine, you know, getting your pictures on there. Was that the biggest thing for you, or was there like a publication that, you know, you were able to get into that was huge?
A lot. The first thing was I got in Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Hawks hooked me up with that. He was doing an interview. He said, "Lau, if you want to get in Pro Wrestling Illustrated, send me a couple of pictures. I'll make sure they put them in." And he did. They got in. Saw my name. They got my name spelled right. It was great. You want to know what the coolest thing ever was besides being in the movie? I know you hated being with the night there, but I enjoyed the hell out of that. The coolest thing ever is I shoot pictures for Phil Singer Games. They use the pictures for the cards and everything. They made a card of me one time, and I thought that was cool as hell. So I actually have a playing card.
Oh, wow.
So that's probably the coolest publishing thing, but like I said, I've been in covers. There's a picture of Nick Mondo video in the, what was that crazy, lousy game with all the hardcore wrestlers?
The Backyard
Wrestling. Two volumes
game?
Of it.
Backyard
Wrestling? Yeah. There's one of my pictures was used in a Nick Mondo video. I thought that was cool. Like I said, there's a whole bunch of stuff. I'm drawing a blank, but you get the idea. When you see your name in something, and it's published across the country, that's just the great thing right there.
The wrestler movie, you hinted at that. You enjoyed your experience. What was it all? You know, what was it like for you?
Well, believe me, I know I've seen your post about it. I knew you were bored and everything. I got there early that day. I got to watch them do those same scenes like 20 times that you saw that night. And for some reason, I just enjoyed the hell out of it. I didn't even think I would get into it. Of course, I just got in because I was a ringside photographer. But I just watching them work on it, I just thought it was interesting. And I'm sure if I had to do that every week, I probably would have got bored.
Yeah.
But I loved the hell out of that. Here's a story about that.
No patience. So
you
know,
it just has to be a thing. That's like when I went to Tennessee 2 years ago. Everybody hated it except me because it was my first time doing it. I don't ever want to do it again.
Right.
But that first time, it was fun.
Yeah.
Oh man. But we were standing ringside.
No, I said, that was just the thing with me, was just the patience. I am just not a patient guy, and that really, really required patience, that show.
Yeah, I remember I put
that
picture up, and you and your wife, your girlfriend, were in the picture. You both looked like you were just ready to kill somebody.
Oh, yeah. And that was the thing, too. By the time this thing wrapped and they even had it, you know, you had somewhat of a chance to actually be maybe a shot in a movie or a glancing, whatever. We were so checked out that it was like, just skip over us. I don't care what you do. You know, and that there were so many people that were really only there to possibly be part of it.
Yeah.
That it was just like, and they're running around like with the cheerleader act, and let's go again, say it again, and I'm like, this is not how this works. I'm not. You know,
yeah, me, Lexi,
store,
and another
right?
Another photographer were standing at ringside, and a guy comes down. And he tells Gary from Smart Mark to leave, you know, with the video camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I guess they're going to tell us to leave. He walks up to us and says, don't look in the camera, don't get in the way. I'm like, oh, wow, we get to do it. Now, if you watch me in the film, I'm standing dead center of the ring, standing up, which I never do. But I just did that to make sure I got on camera. Because I'd never do that at a match. You know that.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was cool, you know, to a certain extent to know that, okay, yeah, I was there, they were filming, da-da-da-da-da, but yeah,
did you see yourself on there?
Without that. I think so. I think so. It was like when they did that big wide shot, I could pinpoint where I was because, you know, we were right up there front row. So, yeah, I was able to see it. I still could have done without it. But yeah, I mean, you got in your pictures in the video game, the publications. You know, what would you like to see your picture show up in now? Is there something that you'd really, you know, like to get it into? Or?
Oh God, I have no idea. I think I've basically peaked. In all honesty, there was a movie that came out, Card Subject to Change.
Right.
I was supposed to have pictures in that movie. The guy contacted me like 3 years before it came out. And he wanted pictures of Trent. So I said, go for it. Just get my name right.
Mm-hmm.
One day, just for the hell of it, I put my name in IMDb, the Internet Movie Database.
Right.
And the first name that came up was Davin McGavin, the guy that was in The Night Stalker and A Christmas Story. Because his real name is William Lyle. The second name was mine. I'm like, what the hell? And sure enough, it was the movie for... card something. I'm like, damn, I'm in IMDb. That was probably the highlight right there, to tell you the truth. Unfortunately, it was taken out later because they didn't use anything. But that, when I saw that, that was... So I really wish I had got, especially since I've seen the movie and I liked it, I wish I had been a part of that. Anything else? It'd be cool if, like, Chris Hero goes to the WWE, you know, and a year or two from now he gets his DVD out and they use some of my old pictures in that because I'm a big Hero fan. Like that would be the ultimate, I think, right there. Or if they did it with Claudio, if Sarah ever does anything, I think she's just training, unfortunately, or helping the women train. That would be probably the ultimate because I'm not a WWF fan, like I said, WWE fan.
Right.
But if it was for somebody that I like, I would have no problem. I'd just tell them just to put my name in there. That would probably be the ultimate. I'm not going to lie about that.
Who are some of your favorite guys on the Indies? Hero, Sarah...
It's my all-time favorite wrestler, period, is the Great Muta.
Okay.
No doubt about that. It is so hard to pick guys on the indies. I mean, there's a lot. I can't really begin. If you asked me 8 years ago, I said AJ Styles and Low Key. No doubt.
Right.
Now, there's just so much out there, I can't pick anybody.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt that I know a lot of guys, too. So that hurts, too.
Sure. With Grey Muta, have you had a chance to photograph him?
Just I met him, but I got some pictures like from the old Civic Center, just being a fan.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple good shots of him from you know the stands and all like that, but nah, never nothing ringside, nothing like that. Like I said, I got to meet him on the Joel Goodhart's dinners, him and Gary Hart. So that was like a double winner for me. Because Muta's my all-time favorite wrestler. Gary Hart is probably my all-time favorite manager. So, I mean, he was cool as hell, both of them. That was the highlight right there.
Yeah.
Most of the guys you meet are great. Sometimes you'll see a jerk, but other than that.
Right. what was it like? You know, you worked for the company, you worked under Zandig and everything like that. When the company was sold, you know, how did it, I mean, you know, how did it go down for you? I mean, I know you're a photographer and everything like that, but, you know, nobody knows what's going to change or how things are going to go.
Well, actually, you said I worked under Zandig. Technically, I did, you know, I worked, you know, I did the shows, but I really didn't work for CZW until DJ took over. He's the, he is the only person to ever, all the companies I've worked for, I just do it because I like it. He's the only person that's ever paid me. The only.
Interesting.
So, technically, he's the first person I've actually worked for. And
right.
I have to go to all the meetings. Of course, I missed last month for the first time. But he's basically made me a part of the family. Zandig got me started. Loved the man. Always happy to see him. But I actually didn't really become a member of CZW until DJ bought the company. So Zandig basically let me do whatever I want to, you know.
Right.
So,
wow.
In
so
all honesty,
it was all just pretty much free press.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it got a little better. In a way, I don't like going to the meetings because you hear stuff. There's only one bad time, in all honesty, but no, it's been better. That's all I can say. But like I said, I'm actually like a member of the family now. But it's always been great to see CZW. Like I said, Zandig was great to me. DJ's been great to me. I know a lot of people don't like him, but I can only speak for myself.
Right. You know, what was it like, you know, being there? I mean, there's you know, there's goods and there's bads. What does it feel like, you know, when you see these guys move from the indies and then next thing you know, they're up on the TV and they're getting big, you know, exposure?
Okay. You said it right there. I don't like the WWF, but that's where the money is. What are you going to do?
Right.
I can't blame anybody for going. I'm happy for them. I'm just hoping they're used well. I know they get insurance, at least the WWE. I heard TNA doesn't have it. I'm a fan of TNA, but that's stupid.
Right.
But no,
right.
I'm happy for them. Believe me, I'm a big Chris Hero fan, like I told you, Claudio. When Evan was up there, Bat Sydal, Dragon, I'm happy for them because they're making money.
Yeah.
That's their dream. So, hey,
Sydal still has a contract, right?
I actually have no idea. I haven't seen him in so long.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's been off TV for a while, but I don't know if it's an injury or I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he's still under contract. So.
Oh, and of course, Moxley. Got to mention him. Your
of
new
course,
U.S.
champion. Absolutely.
In all honesty, though, if you really pay attention, since Hunter took over, they are starting to wrestle a little more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I think that's what opens the door for a lot of the indie guys now, too.
Exactly. So you really can't complain about that. I might actually just start watching him from the beginning. I watched the six-man the other night and thought it was great with the Shield.
Yeah.
And I thought that match was excellent. I really enjoyed it. And I don't say that much about Raw shows.
Yeah, it was a very good match. NXT, I try to keep pretty current on, too, because they're actually more of a wrestling company.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I've seen some taste, but unfortunately I don't see the whole episode. I would love to, though.
Yeah, I think they're mostly just posted online.
Yeah.
I think they have them on the WWE website and everything else, but they have a very indie wrestling-type feel to them, so...
Yeah, a little bit I've seen. Yeah, it's like really clean and everything, but you're right. I think the focus is more on wrestling from the little bit that I have seen and everything.
Yeah.
Of course, Generico's down there now, too. Sammy, of course, is probably going down. Hey, like I said,
yeah,
that's where the money is. Make it.
It's unfortunate, They take Sammy after they name El Generico Sammy. It's like, oh, man, jeez.
Well, people are complaining he's not going to be El Generico. I'm happy because if they don't use him and he leaves, he can keep his name. So
yeah,
I have no
course.
Problem with that.
I
know, they can't
I
take your real name.
It. It's just,
yeah.
Yeah. Just ironic. It's like they take El Generico, they name him Sammy. Now they take Sammy. What are they going to name him? Yeah, El Generico.
Maybe we'll go back to Cannonball Callaway or whatever his name was.
Yeah, Cannonball.
Of course,
Callaway.
He was fat back then, but you never know.
Right. So obviously, you know, that's pretty good to see these guys before they are big and everything like that. Unfortunately, the other side of it, especially, you know, within the past handful of years and everything, is the deaths on the indies.
Okay, I do remember to get to that. Oh, man. Well, let me start with Chris Cash. Mm-hmm. And I'll start with him because I really didn't know him that well. I wasn't really talking to all the guys back then. I talked to him maybe a couple. I know his family better than I know him, and they're great people. But you always hear people talk about Chris, so it bothers you. And like I know his family, they're great people. I always see them at the Chris Cash show. I talk with his mother on Facebook. But when you get to people like JC and Trent, that's where it really gets you. Because like I said, Trent was at the show I went to right before my first CZW show. So I knew him back in like 99. You know, I'm like, oh, it's Trent Ashton. He's like, nah, it's Acid. They got my name wrong. So, yeah, I knew him for years. And I know you love J.C. Bailey.
Oh, of course.
There's no doubt about that. So I have to tell you a quick J.C. Bailey story without giving you the backstage details.
Sure.
Matt, the match he did with Thumbtack Jack with the bare feet and all like that.
Right.
I remember he was upset after the show. He's running around screaming. It was after everybody left. And I'm like, I don't know if I should get away from him or what. Just for the hell of it, I called him over. He came right over. I said, you okay, man? He said, yeah, I'm just letting off steam. And we ended up talking for like 10 minutes. I mean, that was J.C. Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Cool as hell, you know. I really, like I said, both him and Trent, when they both left, I cried at the Trent Acid the first show when they showed the video. Whoever made that video nailed him. I actually walked to the back because that video really hit me.
Yeah.
And like I said, I love JC because JC was cool as hell, too. It hurts. Obviously, any death hurts. But, you know, both of those really by Larry Sweeney. He was always cool to me. And he committed suicide, so it hurts even more. Oh, man. I mean.
Yeah.
He accidentally kicked me at a show one time. He accidentally kicked me at a show one time, kicking back when he was leaning on the ropes. And he's a heel. He goes, "Oh, you okay?" I'm like, "Dude, just go. Don't care about me. Hell, yell at me for getting in your way. Do something, you know?" It hurts. Obviously, it does.
Yeah. Yeah, and then more recently, too, you know, Marvin being another one. So.
Oh, God, yeah. I knew there was another name I could not think of for some strange reason. This guy looked like a friggin' killer in the ring. You would not want to go near him. When you saw him out of the ring, he's this big, good-looking guy, easy to get along with. I talked to him a lot. He, obviously, that was another suicide, so that was a bad one, too. I'm pissed off that I couldn't think of the other person I was trying to think of, but, you know, you get nervous. But, yeah, he was a great guy, too. People don't believe it when you say all these people are great, but they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
That's all you can say.
Yeah, obviously another guy you were very familiar with, and, you know, luckily we didn't lose him to death or anything like that, but Nick Gage. But what'd you feel about that situation when it happened?
You mean the tournament of death or the bank robbery?
Oh, well, I'm both.
Okay, well, let's go to the tournament of death. I didn't even see what happened.
See that one coming a little.
Yeah, he got thrown through the tubes. He gets right up and he walks in. I'm on his left side. He lifts up his right arm, and I just hear people just going crazy. I'm like, what the hell happened? I never actually saw the wound because it was far off from me. So obviously, once again, I didn't go in the back when he was getting stitched up. I wanted to make sure there was plenty of room for him. So I didn't really know how bad it was. Then, of course, I'm hearing they have to bring a helicopter in. You know, you just worry. Just live. That's all I say. I don't care if you ever wrestle again. I don't care. I don't care if anybody ever wrestles again. I see guys, people always call for a wife beater. When you see him in the back, hunched over, trying to walk, it bugs you. So to me, get out before you get, you know, totally messed up. But yeah, that was, if I had seen what happened to him, maybe one day I'll take a look at the DVD and check it out. But that's the way it was. He lifted up his arm. It was the opposite side of me. And I just heard everybody gasp. So I knew it had to be bad. The stuff you see in CZW, if people gasp like that, you know it's bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
one was like that. It was definitely the blood, that situation. That happened right in front of me. The guy
I saw that. Oh, yeah, I saw that. That one I did see.
That was about the only time I almost threw up in a guy's wound because the guy came down right in front of me and he made this just noise like woo, and I think I saw it before he did because he kind of landed on it and as he, I guess, felt whatever pressure he just put on it, he had long jean shorts on, and when he looked down and lifted his shorts, I had my eyes pinned the same place he did, and it probably had a better angle. And I was like, oh, my God, that was one of the most brutal things I've ever seen. I mean, that was like the size of his head in his leg. That was really, really bad.
Okay, I got a good one for you. It's not as disgusting, but it was freaky.
Right.
First CZW TV tape. You remember the two guys that got hurt on the first show? Lobo
Rick
and Blade.
Blade and,
Blade leaped off the top of that part of the building inside and hit the table wrong and landed. He's lying on the floor, and Shorty's there. He was just lying on the floor. One of the doctor guys comes over, asks him what he says. I think I broke my foot. Now, check this out. They took his boot off. And when they went to lift his leg, his foot stayed on the floor. That was freaky looking. I mean, you could see it was like it was totally severed. I mean, it was in the skin still. But you just saw the leg lift, but the foot just went flat and was lying on the floor. I was right there, ready to take a picture. As soon as I saw that, I couldn't do it. And I wish I had still, but that freaked me out. Like I said, I saw the blood thing too. But, like, when you fall into a bunch of tubes or something, you can expect something like that, unfortunately. That just totally freaked me out. I can't remember how Lobo got hurt, but I know they both got hurt right at the end of the show. But the Blade thing, I wish there was a video of that, because maybe it's 10 years ago, so maybe I'm thinking of it differently. Maybe it wasn't as bad as I'm saying it is, but that's the way I remember it.
It was bad. He came off of that, you know, whatever it was, 20-foot wall or...
Yeah.
You know, whatever the Sewell wall was. And, overshooting table. And I think he broke his leg in three spaces, if I remember right.
He definitely broke it around the ankle. That's where they lifted his leg. You had to see this, man. I'm telling you, that was the freakiest thing. It was no blood, nothing sticking out. The guy just lifted his leg, and the foot stayed on the floor. That was bad. I will never forget.
Back to the other gauge thing, you robbed a bank.
The funny thing about that, I saw the picture, and every time I saw the picture, I tried to convince myself it wasn't him.
It was so impossible to do, though.
I was able to do it. I'm looking at that. That's not Gage. It looks like him, but I'm trying to convince myself it's not him. I was hoping and praying. Happened recently? When Gage first went in, I sent him a letter. I said flat out, I'm not good at writing letters, so you might not hear from me too much. About a month or two ago, I made a calendar for him. And I figured I'll keep doing it. Unfortunately, it's halfway through the year, two or three months into it. But I wanted to send him a picture with, I made sure Moxley was in it, him beating Moxley's ass and all that stuff, just for fun so he could show off. And it turns out they wouldn't accept it because I had a metal binder. Because of the wire and all like that. They haven't sent it back to me, so I don't know where it is. But I just really took, because I really wanted to, like I said, since I'm terrible at writing letters, I really wanted him to have something. Because another guy, jerk in the ring, badass, so on and so forth, nice guy outside of it.
Definitely.
Hearing he's doing good, so, hey, Nick, just take care of yourself, get out of there. Hopefully when you get out, you'll be straight. And so on and so forth. But, I honestly tried to convince myself that was not him in that picture.
Yeah, I think that was my first response, too. But, I mean, that was shot down within, two glances at the picture. I was like, oh, man, come on, Nick.
But I'm telling you, the more I looked at it, the more I had a reason to believe it wasn't him. I was literally trying to convince myself it wasn't him. I'm like, please don't be him. But, yeah.
And obviously, the most ironic thing about the whole thing, to anyone who knew Nick Gage and CZW, to walk to the ring with a bandana on your face every time and walk into a bank without it.
Everybody said that. Why the hell did he cover his face up? I'm like, oh, God. I'm just glad he didn't get hurt.
Nobody
got hurt.
If he did, but come on. You're the guy with the bandana ring entrance.
Oh, man. I tell you. Man, I love Nick. Like I said, every guy we just talked about, I have nothing bad to say about any of them. I'm not saying that I won't say nothing bad, like I know something. I'm saying I have nothing bad to say about them. They're all good to me. Everybody's good to photography.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy.
I'm glad he's still alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's still alive, unlike, unfortunately, the other guys we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Working for, well, not technically working for Chikara, but, you know, taking pictures for Chikara, you know, what was, that whole experience like? I know you said it was, you know, a whole different cast of characters and the costumes and all of that stuff, but,
A lot of fun. You get to meet a lot of wrestlers you've always wanted to meet because he brings in a lot of people. Really nothing to complain about. I did get to sit on a lot of meetings. And here's the one thing. You listen to Quack. He'll lay out the show for you. Of course, I'm not going to give any details, but he'll lay out the show for you. I tell you, there's so many times I've listened to him and said to myself, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Right.
Then when they go out and do it and you see it, it's like, oh, that's what he wanted. When you actually visually see it, you know how good a job he is at it. But yeah,
right.
Chikara, a lot of fun. The one Ring of Honor show, a lot of fun. I did all of Delirious' Ring of Honor Respect shows. He let me do whatever I wanted to. Really can't complain about any owners. I remember Ian wondered who the hell I was going to throw me out one time. That's about it. But Chikara's a lot of fun, a lot of good talent, you get to meet a lot of stars. Quack always surprises you. Believe me, a lot of times when guys come out, I don't even know they're there.
Wow.
That's how secret he keeps stuff.
Yeah. What are some of the other companies you work for?
Okay, of course, CZW, Chikara, Ring of Honor one time, IWS one time from Canada. Two times for Ian, both his Philly shows. I got to work Shimmer for the first time a couple weeks ago. That's a dream of mine. And, of course, I felt like crap the entire show. My knees, I would be in the corner. Two women would be fighting behind me. I could not get out of the way. I honestly could not stand up. ACPW out of Philadelphia, of course, Maven shows. Oh, man. Oh, NWA Dog. Run by Jaden, another guy that really lets me do whatever I want, and I always like working for him. I'm sure I'm probably missing a couple companies, unfortunately. I did Riot Pro the other day, Force One when it was around, Sideshow.
Right.
Basically just a lot of the companies in this area. I've had offers to actually travel to people, but nah, it's just a little too much for me.
How long do you think you're going to do it for? I mean, I know you say your knees and you just keep... pushing and pushing, but...
My philosophy has been, when I don't like it anymore, I'm walking out. Problem is, I still like it. So I'm starting to think, maybe I should leave while I like it. But even if I had a plan, I'm not going to tell it, because I just want to walk away from it. No, goodbye or anything. I just want to... Of course, I'll tell DJ or something like that, but I'm probably just going to leave.
Yeah.
The only thing I said is I'd probably still do Maven shows just because they're benefits and I can stand up at those shows, but there would be no more big shows. I never had the desire to work for Vince. Of course, he paid me a lot, I'd do it, but we know that's not happening.
Sure.
We don't have photographers anymore. But no, I've done everything I've wanted to do for the most part, especially after doing Shimmer. The only other company I'd want to work for is PWG. And I'm not flying to California, even though I used to live out there. That's it.
Right.
Excluding, of course, Japan, Japanese companies, and I'm upset I didn't work with New Japan when they were here. If I had called a week or two ahead, I could have worked that show.
Wow. Yeah. What would you say out of the companies you worked and stuff are the most fun? Is it CZW?
Now you're talking about behind the scenes or actually working the shows while I'm working them?
Either way. I mean, just overall enjoyment of, the atmosphere and, including shooting them.
The top two would have to be Chikara and CZW because they give you a variety. Obviously, you've got all the crazy stuff with Chikara and the people that come in. And with CZW, like I said, you got the wrestling, you got the who knows what, the glass breaking, the hard hitting, and I love the hard. I don't need the glass and the chairs. I just like the good hard hitting stuff. So basically those two companies. Of course, you know I'm probably going to say those because they're the two I work for the most. But that basically is the truth. The one time I worked for Ring of Honor was great, like I told you.
Right.
Like, so that was after I had my stroke and everything.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they give you a good variety. So it's, there hasn't been a company that I hated working for that I can think of right now.
When you had a stroke, that was during shooting or like a...
Nah. My car died that Wednesday, so that was a great week, obviously. Mm-hmm. We did the show on Saturday night. It was in July of 2008, and the reason I remember that because I had the pulmonary embolism the next month on my birthday. But I remember that was a long day. I shot pictures of all the wrestlers, and it's a pain. Guys love their pictures being taken when they're in the ring. They don't like it.
Right.
Not everybody, of course, but they don't like it when they have to pose or come up with a way to stand and all. So that's like a long 2 or 3 hours. That's one of the things. That's why DJ, thank God, doesn't let me do that anymore because he knows I don't like it. But I remember I did that, had the long day, did the show that night, woke up the next day. Shakara was the next day. Like I told you, that's the only Shakara show I ever missed at the arena. I'm working on the pictures first thing in the morning. Next thing I know, I jump because a big bug runs across my throat. I'm looking for this bug. Guess what? It wasn't the bug. It was my thumb. Turns out I couldn't feel my left arm, but I didn't know it at the time. I picked up a CD, turned my head, and next thing I know, I hear something hit the floor. I'm like, what the hell was that? I look, the CD is on the floor. Oh, okay, I dropped it. No big deal. Picked the CD up, turned my head again, I dropped it again. I'm lucky because in high school I had a teacher tell me this exact same thing. A friend, you always hear a stroke when a guy can't talk and he loses, like, the, you know, it's usually bad.
Yeah.
A teacher in high school said a friend of his, he couldn't hold something unless he was looking at it. And as soon as I dropped it the second time, I said, I think I'm having a stroke. Guess what? Hmm. I said to myself, I only need one hand to take pictures. I'm going to go to Shakara anyway. That was my actual thought process. It was still a couple hours. I was sitting at home with a stroke. Like I said, my speech was slurring like it is right now. And I was going to do that show. When I went to pick up all my stuff to go to the door, I started dropping everything all over the place. And I said, okay, I'm going to the hospital. Sure enough, get there. Had a blood clot in my brain.
Wow.
Effects were gone by the end of that day, so it wasn't that bad, thank God. Doctor still told me I had a full stroke, though. I thought a full stroke meant, you know, like you see some people when their face gets twisted and everything. No, he said I had a full stroke. But for me, it just wasn't a bad one.
Yeah,
and like I said, I missed the Shakara show, the only one I missed. And then the next month I had the pulmonary embolism. That scared the hell out of me. I thought I was going to die. Couldn't breathe. And it happened on my birthday. I didn't go to the hospital. Just figured I was tired. Worst night of sleep ever. Woke up the next day, finally decided to go to the hospital. Almost passed out 3 times on the way to the hospital. Literally fell into a nurse's arm. And I found I had blood clots all through my chest. That was scary. The stroke didn't scare me. That did. Didn't miss any shows though, because it was at the right time. That's bad.
Yeah, that's definitely a bad two-shot for your...
Yeah, like I said, 2 months in a row. In the hospital twice.
And yeah, but you've been alright since, again. All right? Other than me?
For the most part, nothing serious. Hopefully it keeps that way.
Yeah, for sure. I think I've pretty much covered everything I was trying to hit. Is there anything else you want to, you know, talk about, put out there? I mean, it's...
Probably as soon as I hang up, I'll think of something. But I'm sorry I didn't ask you if there's anybody I didn't like.
Yeah, well, you know, no one likes to throw anyone under the bus. So I, you know.
I don't know. I can just say a couple things like, you know, I can't think of his name now. Roderick Strong, nice guy when he was in CZW. Wasn't a nice guy after he left. I threw a thing about Pan Coast earlier where he backstabbed me. And I could really get mad telling you that story. And then it was on that Marvin. What the hell? I don't care. What's he going to do to me?
Right.
I had chest pain. In fact, if you're saying anything bad happened, I had chest pains. I was in pain for a couple of days before. It was the day of the Marvin tribute when we did the doubleheader.
Right.
After brain damage, killed himself. Worked with Smart Mark in the morning. Just to try to tell as fast as possible. And Sabine wasn't going to let me work. She had the doctors check me out and everything. I was in pain. I couldn't move. Got through the first show. Then when we did the CZW show, when Pancos was still working for us, I admitted I got in his way a couple times. Guess what? I was going to apologize to him because I knew I was wrong. I had trouble moving. About halfway through the show, I started feeling great. I could move like that. Intermission comes. Somebody comes up to me from the back and says, Pancos is complaining about you. I'm thinking, number one, he knows who I am. He could have came to me. He could have yelled at me.
Right.
The basic fact is he would have been right. For him to go behind my back and do that, that really ticked me off.
Right.
And I haven't said a damn thing to him since. I guess he knows I'm mad because he hasn't said anything to me. He actually went and said hi to somebody when we were the only two people sitting there and made sure he blew me off. So good for him, you know. But that he just was, believe me, when I heard he was leaving, I didn't miss him at all.
He was a hard guy to work around.
I mean, if you had a problem with me, you know me. Come to me.
Right.
Like I said, if he had yelled at me, I'd have been upset. But at least he would have came to me. He goes to the back and talks to one of the officials. I won't say it wasn't DJ, I'll tell you that, so you can probably figure out who it was.
Mm-hmm.
They come to me and tell me. In fact, I found out a month later that he didn't just complain. Somebody who was back there told me he was actually yelling about me.
Hmm. Wow.
And that when I found that part out, I mean, like I said, he was 100% right. But the basic fact is he could have came to me. He's talked to me before. He knows who I am. He had no problem asking favors from me before. I mean, let's talk about Pan, because the basic fact is he makes indie shows look professional.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. He does a great job. But at that cost, he's a pain in the ass at the same time. You know, that's basically all I'm going to say about him. That just really ticked me off that he didn't come to me. And like I said, I could care less about him now. He does a great job. There's no doubt about that. But, hey, you know, man up. I'm sure he'll probably hear about this, and he'll say something to me next time he sees me, but it's a little too late now.
Right.
And I personally don't care.
Yeah. That's understandable. Yeah, man.
Oh, boy. See, you got me all riled up. I probably won't be able to sleep tonight now.
Oh, man. Well, man. I mean, you're welcome back anytime in a... Sure, you know, be some more stuff you get to witness firsthand in between the first row and the ring.
I admit I've only heard the show a couple times because I just don't have the time. But anytime you want me, you know, I wouldn't do a monthly thing, but if you want me to come back on again in a couple of months, what the hell? I got no problem. I'll make the time, you know, if I'm going to come on. You know, because I have listened to your show. I like it. You're honest. You don't mess around. I thought you were going to answer some questions that I honestly thought you were going to answer some questions I wouldn't be able to answer tonight, but I didn't have one problem with anything you asked me. Like I said, you caught me off guard, as a matter of fact. And I was actually considering whether I was going to tell the Pancos story or not, but like I said, I hinted at it on Facebook. I don't care what he thinks, blah, blah, blah. He'll probably say something to me. I don't care. What the hell? He can't fire me. I don't work for him.
Yeah. Well,
there's actually someone else I want to show, but I can't remember.
Like I said, you're welcome back on any time. You've always been just a great dude to talk to. And any time seeing you at a show, I mean, you're definitely one of those guys you're always happy to see. So just keep doing what you're doing, man. And, you know, thank you for coming on.
Okay, just one last thing before you go. Believe me, there are some other great – I love my work, but there are some great guys out there like Sean Carr, No Days Off, Scott Finkelstein, George DeHaenis. A guy whose work I really love that I'm starting to get into is Jimmy Hunt. Of course, I love Waxes. I'm sure I'm leaving some people out, but believe me, I'm just happy that people actually want to work at CZW again because I did that for 2 years, I think, by myself because nobody wanted to touch the company at that time. And now they do, so I'm happy. It was fun with people thinking, oh, Lyle doesn't want to work with anybody. He's selfish. No, the way he just wanted to do it. So I'm happy. I'm glad to be on the show. I thought it was a great time. I'm going to try to find it on the net so I can record it and play it to other people.
Yeah, definitely.
And man, keep doing what you do. Like I said, the couple times I've been able to listen and to now, it's great. You're passionate about it. That's why I'm kissing your butt right now, okay? You're passionate about it. I think everything I've heard you say, I believe you mean it. You don't just say stuff just to say it. Right. And, hey, what else can I say?
Absolutely, man. Well, have a great night, man, and we'll definitely talk to you soon.
I will catch you later.
All right. Good night, man.
Bye.
There you go. There's Lyle Williams. Like I said, this guy takes some of the best pictures on the indies straight up, and just a great guy, you know. So I always wish him the best. Thought it'd be great to have him on, and, you know, he did exactly what I thought he was going to do. So I enjoyed it, and I hope everybody else did. I'm going to take a little break, and then I'll come back, you know, hit those other couple topics I was talking about. Meanwhile, I look over and, you know, pretty much getting what I expected out of the Heat Indiana game. You got a 59-58 Indiana lead right now. And, you know, they're battling out there. This is what you expect. This is not going to be, you know, a rollover series where Miami just crushes the Pacers. But I also don't think there's a chance in hell the Pacers are winning this series. So, you know. I mean, that's partial confidence in my team, and then that's, you know, a lot of reality, too. I just don't think that they can take a seven-game series against the Miami Heat. So, I mean, that's just my deal there. But, yeah, I'm going to play this track here, take a break, and come back in a minute. Get on it.
Yeah, down and dirty, and my sounds are worthy of respect. So I'ma flex my text. It's like a major takeover. Chump pass the mic over. Growing more and more nervous when I serve this ass whooping. Coming straight out of Brooklyn, bald head from the old school, born to rule with more class than Billy D. To a pussy MC, you know I'm Woods MC. I'm like his worst nightmare when I'm on my killing spree. Fix the Vic, will it be? Your vote may hold the key. It's up to you. Tell us true. Movie, herb of the day. And when you face your grace, when suckers choose they lose, I'm like lethal. To you and your people, it's like an outrage. When punks step on stage with a weak show, weak flow, and still make dough. So I'ma take dough from them, and then sun them. Teach them how to really get biz like this. Me and my gang's gonna swarm. Brainstorm.
Get on it.
It takes at least two to tangle, so you could get strangled from any angle, cause I get buck undone. All the sexy girlies wanna push up close to the man with the most who don't flaunt his ego. Some motherfuckers ain't as gifted. Not everyone can move the crowd and uplift it. I'm swift with the shit like a bullet's trajectory. So don't stand next to me. It's like a warm sensation when my shells hit. You were wrong, you know what you did, so you fell quick. To the pavement, no signs of body movement. See, I knew it, yo, I had to do it. And it's cool to do, but don't slip up, fool, cause I'ma leave you getting thinking like a cesspool. And all the chicks know what's going on, cause baby, there ain't no sunshine when I'm gone. And you can beg for me to stay and parlay, but sorry, I got to go, got bills to pay. See, by nature, I'm godly. When I touch the mic, it's never too hard for me to let out. I'm at the mount of mad cloud. Me and my gang's gonna swarm. Brainstorm. Coming to your house to douse it with a Molotov cocktail. I won't fail. Burn out your eyeballs and leave a note in braille. So what the fuck you gonna do? Yeah, I know I used to act relaxed, but now I'm cuckoo. Coming to my darkest, deepest thoughts. We fought, I won. And now you're caught in being tortured. Water pellets drips upon your forehead. But you can't move because you're tied up. Your time's up. Your time's up.
Yeah, there you go. You know, classic stuff. You know, Lala hinted before about the Shield, you know, doing their thing over there. And, yeah, Dean Ambrose, John Moxley, new U.S. champion. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns are the new tag champions. I did catch some of that, from the pay-per-view. That I liked very much. I enjoyed both of those matches, too. And obviously seeing those guys walk with the titles, I thought was, you know, refreshing and, you know, just cool to see those guys that, you know, you normally used to see on the indies on a regular basis. Jon Moxley going from holding the CZW world title to holding the U.S. title on TV is pretty awesome. You know, as I've been saying too, I've been burnt out on that WWE product and a lot of wrestling overall too. Like it's the innovation, it's the hard hitting stuff, you know, even the deathmatch stuff, that the type of stuff where you don't know what's going to happen. Cause a lot of the predictable wrestling, like I'm just checked out right now. I'm just not even into it. You know, the basic, standard style of wrestling where there's just nothing new to it. I don't know. To me, I'm just not into it right now. Maybe I will be in the future. Don't know. I want to be wowed, you know. I want some shit that's going to make me go, oh, shit, didn't see that coming. Oh, ooh, what the fuck is that, you know. I like that type of stuff. So, the Pro Wrestling Guerrillas and the, CZW, some of their stuff. I definitely keep up with it all, but, the TV stuff doesn't do it as much for me. They had a couple things too. They did that Del Rio match. They did a fucking instant replay during a wrestling match where they went to the instant replay. Like I can't do that shit. I can't deal with that. So I just really don't have much to say about that whole thing. They're leaning towards Daniel Bryan and Kane breaking up. So, they're doing that right now, which, I mean, they've had a good run together and everything. So, I guess it, wouldn't be terrible. Daniel Bryan is definitely primed for a really, really good singles run and, you know, going for the title and, you know, having a lot of back and forth singles stuff with, you know, Ziggler and, so many different things they could do with that guy. As Lyle said too, that six man, Team Hell No and Kofi versus the Shield. Amazing match. Just lots of fun. So I definitely enjoyed that quite a bit. I don't know how I feel about this. I forget what the hell they named them anyway. Joe Henning, Michael McGillicuddy, and then now whatever the fuck his new name is. I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like the dude was lacking quite a bit as far as coming across on TV as something I should give a shit about. Adding like the he's you know, laughing maniacally and doing that type of thing to maybe try to add to his character, maybe that'll do it. Maybe that'll be the over-the-top push. But I don't think anyone's going to argue the fact that he's just not his father. He's never going to be. And, having him teamed up with Paul Heyman can push him towards a direction of being relevant and being someone that, you know, ends up getting over. But up until this point, he's had a really difficult time getting himself over. So, you know, I guess we're going to have to see what goes on with the dude. I've never had any, thing against him. I don't think he's completely horrible, but I think you can probably swap him out for another five guys on the roster. There's a lot of different guys you could put in that same position. I think they would do, comparable to exactly what he's going to wind up doing. So, I wish him the best. Hopefully it works out. At some point or another, when CM Punk comes back, they really need to work it into some kind of stable where you actually see the three guys in the ring at once. I never really understood when, Paul Heyman would come out with Punk and Paul Heyman would come out with Lesnar on the same show, completely unrelated, almost like he wasn't out there earlier in the night with them. So it was always weird. You never had a heel Punk even getting any assistance or help from the monster Brock Lesnar, this and that. And not that you need every match interfered in, or he doesn't need to, stand ringside like Big E Langston or anything. But it'd be nice to see a little bit of a crossover thing, maybe an occasional tag teaming. I wouldn't go too often with that either. But, you know, and again, I don't know how long Brock's got on his contract, how long we're going to, you know, even have him around. But, you know, I'd like to see them actually do something with him that's going to forward someone, you know, push someone or give someone a rub or something. So far, he's worked fucking John Cena and fucking Triple H. What exactly are you trying to advance? I just don't get it. You know, I just have a hard time figuring out exactly what they're trying to do or build, because I can't see anything being built if you're just continuing to put a guy in there with Triple H. Triple H is going to have so many matches, and then, you know, and I don't know, now do they head towards the whole Undertaker Lesnar thing, where, you know, people had hinted at that being a WrestleMania match. I don't know. I'm all done with the Undertaker WrestleMania thing. But in the same token, Brock Lesnar needs to be used to help the product and its future growth, rather than just like, okay, Brock's wrestling another guy, should be here a year or two more, and I don't know. So that's just me. The Brian Kendrick's King of Flight. Good shit. I don't have anything in front of me, but the tournament, it was an 8-man tournament, and happened in March. It was both Young Bucks, Red, Paul London, what's that for? Samurai Del Sol, AR Fox, Rich Swann, and Ricochet. So, I mean, right there you have 8 fucking guys. I mean, these guys are all tremendously talented. I think there was like, I want to say one or maybe one non-tournament match, but I really didn't watch that. I mean, good stuff. Really, really good stuff. I will say that I really think Red would be best served just training guys at this point. You know, not to knock the guy or anything like that, but, I mean, his knees are beat. Red, this is a guy who innovated so, so much. I don't think the high-flying game on the indies would be the same at all if Red hadn't done what he had done, you know, back in 2001, 2002. I mean, the standing star press, I mean, that was something he completely did. I mean, if it was done before him, I sure as shit don't know about it. You know, the Code Red, you know, Yoshitonic joint, I mean, I guess it had been done or whatever, you know, Japan-wise, but so much that he brought to the U.S. indie scene, and now you see a lot of these moves that are, you know, continually done by other guys, but it was really seen first with him. And the smaller, you know, more agile guys that pull off these moves that no one's ever seen before now is, you know, your different guys, your Samurai Del Sol's, your Rich Swann's, your Ricochet's, your AR Fox's. These are the guys of the future now. Pac, you know, these are the guys that are going to be doing the moves that, you know, that pop people and make them amazed at and not know what they're going to see next, you know. So I give Red all the credit in the world for innovating that and pretty much opening doors and broadening the horizon of the whole indie scene, you know, the high flyers, and really revolutionizing what the high flyers are capable of doing, and changing it from just this guy does a moonsault and this guy does a swanton and this guy does a frog splash. Like, it really changed a lot of, you know, people were doing different things, but not as widespread as it became after Red. But to me, I think his knees are beat up enough. I mean, I know, you know, within the match too, there's a lot of selling, but I just got this feeling like he'd be really best off, you know. I think the indies would be best served with him just training guys and, you know, and passing on his knowledge and experience and all that, because in the ring, I don't think he can hang with these guys. And I hate to even put it in that way, but he's not like, he's not amazing Red anymore. He's just Red, you know? And it's, you know, it's not to take anything away from what he has done, but it's just, it is what it is, you know, the game keeps moving and evolving and all that. And, I think he'd be really, really, benefiting a lot of guys out there is, you know, training guys. So that was the one, maybe, again, I don't want to say weak link or anything like that, but, you know, I hadn't seen Red work in a while. So, but, beyond that, Samurai Del Sol, you know, I'm not one to really protect spoilers or anything. He wins this tournament. The finals is him and Ricochet. The finals is just bananas. These two guys, and really, I mean, the whole tournament is just so, so talented. This back spring reverse Rana shit that Samurai Del Sol pulls is just fucking incredible. I mean, the guy defies gravity on a lot of stuff that he does, you know, so to speak. Like I said, back spring reverse Rana, you kind of got to see it to even know what I'm talking about, because it's just, it's crazy shit. I mean, if everyone on the indies was trying that shit, you'd see Botchamania would have a whole fucking video just dedicated to that move. But, you know, a guy like Samurai Del Sol does it, and it's just amazing. I mean, it's something to see. So definitely go check that out, you know, if you haven't seen it yet. Like I said, I got a bunch of stuff I'm definitely looking forward to next week. I will be doing a show later in the week. Oh, well, you know, as far as the personal thing, I guess I'll touch on that. I don't know how much I did of that last week. I actually hit a personal best on Monday night. I actually ran a 9K. So far, that's as high as I hit. I'm pretty determined to Friday. Friday, I'm going to go out to run again, and I'm determined to hit 10K. And I'm just going to continue to push and push and push and push. So, and I've been doing a lot of different things to definitely push myself in the right direction. Been pretty steady on the protein, and I was doing a lot of stuff. I went to the gym yesterday, and it's all going in a really good direction, and looking forward to it. Like I said, you know, coming Monday is Memorial Day. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of eating, a lot of drinking. And then, you know, day to rest it off and, you know, get back on track on Tuesday. Wednesday, going to see Bill Burr. And then, like I said, either Thursday or Friday, I'll do the show. I just got to figure out exactly what's the better day. You know, I'll be around all day Thursday with the day off. I don't know. You know, I might be able to put in enough, you know, work or figure out something to do with myself on Thursday. But by the time the night rolls around, I'll be too tired to want to jump in and do a show. So maybe, like I said, I'd be better off just doing it Friday night. And plus, you know, you got Wrestling Soup on Thursday night. So I don't, you know, want to jump on that either. So yeah, I think that may be the plan, but I'll definitely keep everybody up to date, and, you know, I'll make sure I let everybody know, you know, who my guest is going to be beforehand. So let me hit everybody up with what you should do next, because the sports then's on.
Hey, what's up, Yakuza Kick Radio fans? It's your boy, Oso Negro Nick Russell, reminding you that after you're done listening to J-Cat and this fine program right here, flip it on over to the Sports Den on UTNSports.com every Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, starring myself, the chef Paul Doobie, and Ravishing Roy Herman. On tonight's show, we recap the NBA as the Heat are set to take on the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Spurs have taken a 2-0 lead on the Memphis Grizzlies. The Cleveland Cavaliers have won the NBA's lottery. And what did Nick hear today that made him think that it could be a huge benefit for the New York Knicks? Also, we talk hockey as the Rangers are down 3-0 and the big man shows no hope. Also, Shannon Coyne is on to talk of the state of the Blackhawks as they are down 2-1 to the Wings going into tonight's matchup. Also, we'll bring on Christian Simpson to talk a little football as Michael Crabtree is reported a tore his Achilles. And also, I'll get his take on the whole Daniel Snyder Washington Redskins thing, as also Negro myself will completely go off about Sergio Garcia and Tiger Woods and the whole racism that's going on in sports. Plus WWE, UFC, and a whole lot more. So grab a beer, come up and listen to us on UTNSports.com, The Sports Den, every Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central.
Absolutely. And Nick's promo also just reminded me about one more thing that I did want to hit. Michael Crabtree tore his Achilles. Oh, Jesus Christ. So he went in and he got his surgery. They said it was a hugely successful surgery. They're saying that he's not going to be out the whole year, but we're talking, you know, up towards our playoff run before we get our star wide receiver back in the game. God damn, that shit is painful. Oh, man. So, you know, it is what it is, man. We're a super team right now, though. That's going to hurt. You know, it's a huge target, and he had his best season last year. You know, Colin Kaepernick is going to hit targets. You know, Crabtree is such a valuable target that it is going to, you know, it is going to be a big game changer. We have plenty of time before the start of the season and to get our game plan right on who's going to take, you know, primary receiver role. Luckily, we do have Anquan Boldin now. We did draft a wide receiver in the fourth round. So we got a young, you know, rookie coming in. I mean, we got a lot of possibilities right there of what we could do in the time being. We'll be able to formulate a game plan where, you know, I'm not saying that we couldn't be better with Crabtree, but I'm saying by the time that we get into the, you know, flow of the season, I don't think we're going to be we're not going to be down a peg or anything where, you know, we're now vulnerable or anything like that. We have a lot of weapons and a lot of things, and it can only make us that much better when Crabtree comes back later in the season. But a lot of adjustment, a lot of different things to change. San Francisco, well, actually it'll be in Santa Clara, has won the bid to host Super Bowl 50. So hopefully in our new stadium, Santa Clara Levi Stadium, will be a home game for the 49ers to go in there and host a home game as we plan on a dynasty. That's right. Team of the 90s, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about today. People don't like to talk about our old rings, our quote-unquote old rings. So we're going to start bringing up some new rings, and hopefully we can get on this roll and we can get ourselves in the Super Bowl that year for our home game. So that would be very, very exciting. We got one more year of Candlestick this year, and worried about that. And, you know, we'll get into that. You know, when the time comes, we'll talk about the Super Bowl approaching that will be at our house, or at our new house. So that's that. I don't have a week-specific promo for Stern Nation, but I'll just play their regular commercial and check them out tomorrow night.
T-O-P-L-E-S-S.
Do you take loads to the face and everywhere?
Oh, Robin, that's inappropriate. Must you late you? Baba Booey.
A-19.
Benji is
Cockstrom. I want it right now.
I hate my brother.
Yeah!
Stern Nation.
Stern Nation. Check them out on Podomatic, iTunes, or Stitcher.
Any girls ever had two penises in their ass?
I have, twice.
You should have mentioned that. I mean, that might have put you over the top.
Yeah. Check out Women Love Wrestling.
We're Canadian. We sound like white girls, but we're black. Plus, we love wrestling. We make fun of others and ourselves. Join Melanie and Corey every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen live on Blog Talk Radio. Subscribe and download on iTunes for free. WomenLoveWrestling.com. We're not your average chick.
Absolutely. Let me see. Where the fuck is my wrestling soup joint? There's wrestling soup.
Fuck up if you will. But this is out.
Don't show me numbers. That's rules.
Thursday night.
Wrestling.
There you go. So yeah, check them out. Definitely check out Stern Nation, Women Love Wrestling, Sports Den when I'm done here. It's a good place to jump over and catch up on everything else. All right, so I think I'm about out of here. I'll keep you up to date on what's going on next week. I'm going to finish watching this game. It's a tight one. Going to be a series, and looking forward to it. So I'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill 'em all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
And we're taking over. And we're taking over. And we're